Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
There has to have been a Mixmaster Flash, right? Somewhere it had
to be.
No, it's
a Mixmaster Spain.
And there's Grandmaster Flash, obviously.
Yeah, but Mixmaster Spain was in Compton, L.A. back then.
You just crossed it with Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah,
Mixmaster Flash.
There, like you said, there had to be one somewhere, right?
That was the Furious Six. That was a different group entirely. All right. Are Heat fans a little worried after the Celtics, who were favored coming into the series, caught fire in the third quarter and, you know, backs to the wall, won the game. They were down 9 into the third quarter. Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst, is with us now. Morning, Corey.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today? But I don't know who Mixmaster Spade or Mixmaster Flash is, but I'm a hip hop guy. Y'all got me on that one.
Yeah, it's a figment. Well, Mixmaster Flash is a figment of Key's imagination. But the hippity hop. What was it? Where's that sound bite?
Find somebody though from the 70s and the 80s.
Had to be a Mixmaster Flash, yeah, right? Had to be. But although back then, when people could just name themselves and give themselves status, it was Grandmaster. Everyone was Grandmaster, right? A Mixmaster, not as much. That came a little later.
I don't necessarily know if I like Grandmaster, but that's a whole other story.
It is interesting that the hip hop community. It is interesting that the hip hop community would appropriate from that group of all groups the title.
Yeah. Key, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
For another day.
That would be like a DJ in the Bronx. Grand Wizard Souls. Oh, wait, how? What? How does that happen?
Don't do it. All right, listen. Don't do it, Max. Don't do it, Max.
Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst. We've been batting it around all day. Should Heat fans be a little worried right now?
I would say a little more worried than they were, because when we've seen the Boston Celtics up against elimination, we watched them go to Philly in game 6. Jason Tatum has a huge fourth quarter. And then, of course, they end up going to a game 7 where he breaks a game 7 record, scores 51 points. I was fortunate enough to be on the call, ESPN Radio, for both those games. And I can tell you right now what the environment's going to be like in Boston. But the Boston Celtics, when they left that game 6 in Philly after getting a win, talked about getting an opportunity to redeem themselves in front of their home crowd. And they have another opportunity to try to redeem themselves in front of their home crowd. I believe they will see that same level of intensity, that sense of urgency that they saw in game 5 last night. And there's a strong possibility that the series will be coming back to South Beach for game 6.
So give me a percentage, Corey, on the chances that Boston pushed this thing all the way to 7.
Whoo, Key, I'm still going to go with about a 25% chance on that one. I don't think that in a game 6 scenario, we would see Miami turn the basketball over 16 times again that lead to 27 points for the Boston Celtics. So even if it does go back to Miami, I would still favor the Heat in that game. But it would be a lot more pressure on the Heat in that scenario, knowing that, of course, Boston now has come there and won a game. But I don't see the Celtics going there and winning another one. But, again, if they build that momentum and winning a game 5, you know, anything can happen in this sport. I mean, we saw it happen with, of course, my Yankees losing to the Boston Red Sox when they were up 3-0 way back in the day. Mm-hmm. So anything is possible, especially when you've got the luck of the Irish on your side.
That's what happens when you let El Duque and David Wells walk out the door. You need big game pitchers. But that's a whole separate don't even remind me of that. Listen, Corey Alexander, let me ask you this. What is it about the nature of a team, in your experience, that's able to do what the Celtics are doing, which is, as everyone says, play with their food, look like they've quit, look like they've rolled over one day, 2 days, three. But then, and we saw it against Philly, down 3-2, Tatum, 1-for-15, catches fire, hits 4 threes. The next game, he set a record in a game 7, 51 points. He did something in that vein last night. What about a team, in your experience, leads to this situation, messing around, and then turning it on when they need to?
I believe it's a conversation amongst the team. Guys, we're doing this for us. We're not doing it for our coaches. We're not doing it for anyone else. We're doing this for us. and you start playing a little bit looser, you go out and you do what you've been used to doing, and all of a sudden you start seeing shots go down. Marcus Smart started making shots. Grant Williams made shots. Al Horford made shots. And that loosened up the double team and the pressure on Jason Tatum. Because one thing's for certain, Eric Spoelstra is not going to let Jason Tatum beat him. It's going to have to be someone else. He's going to make Jason Tatum give the basketball up. Really a sign that, of course, Joe Mazzulla should be adopting by not allowing Jimmy Butler to beat him. But that's another story for another day. When you look at what how the Miami Heat are guarding the Boston Celtics, they're getting the basketball out of Jason Tatum's hands. When other guys start making shots, it makes it difficult to do that because you're giving up practice shots to the other guys, and they knocked them down last night. 18 threes for the Celtics, and it really was 19. They took one away from Jay and took away one of his 34 points. He ended up with 33.
Corey Alexander, ESPN basketball analyst and former NBA player, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Now let's get to the team that really matters out west.
Your Lakers.
The Nuggets, Key?
Yeah, the Nuggets. All right, whatever, Max. That's right. You're a big Nugget fan now. I forgot.
Oh, I've been a big Jokic guy the whole time. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Corey, what? After watching the Lakers get swept, what is it that they need to do to get back to this point, other than talk LeBron into coming back?
The biggest concern for me is their toughness. And again, I know everyone says that they need a third scorer. They need another guy that they can depend on offensively. I think they have that guy in Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, of course, if healthy, will be even better next year. Of course, they've got to re-sign him. But I believe the Lakers can go out and get some toughness in a way that a guy that also represents, you know, Anthony Davis, the guy that represents LeBron James, a number of players on the Lakers by the name of Rich Paul, has a client that's sitting up in Golden State that has a player option right now by the name of Draymond Green. If you go get Draymond Green, no longer does Anthony Davis have to play the five. He can go back to playing the four, where he was one of the best power forwards in the game. Draymond does the tough stuff. Draymond guards Jokic. Draymond can also switch off and guard perimeter guys when necessary, but he provides that toughness that Darvin Ham is looking for from this Lakers lineup. And if you roll a lineup out there that has Austin Reeves, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Anthony Davis, and Draymond Green in the mix, now all of a sudden you've got that toughness. With shooting coming off the bench, LeBron could be right back in the mix to play for a championship
next
year. I like
it, except for there's not enough shooting in that starting lineup, right? Like, none of those guys shoot above average for their position, and a couple of them shoot below average, and the average ones are just barely. That's not a lot of shooting for this day and age.
Okay, so you think about this, Max. Austin Reeves can shoot the basketball. He's proven that he can be not. All right, Rui Hachimura can shoot the basketball.
Austin Reeves can score. He's not a special shooter. He's a regular shooter who can score.
Okay, but when you think about the role that he's in, the more reps you get, the more you become that knockdown shooter.
Right.
I was a marginal shooter coming off the bench, but you let me start, I'm a great shooter. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between Austin Reeves and what he's been doing in the past and what he can do in the future. But you still keep Malik Beasley, Lonnie Walker. You have your shooting coming off the bench. But if you think about the lineup that you have with that group, and you can switch everything defensively, and now everyone in the starting lineup is 6'6 and up, they would be a true problem for the way Darvin Ham coaches his defense.
I got to tell you something. I just looked up Austin Reeves' three-point percentage. He's at 90%. Oh, sorry, it's 40% from the three. I said 90%. 40%. It's 86% from the line and 40% from three. So, yeah, 40% from three, I'm good.
Still, well, yeah, and mm-hmm. It's new. You got to remember, Max is new to him. He hasn't been around doing this for a very long time. He's only going to get better.
I agree.
With the reps that he's getting. Mm-hmm. This is why Corey is saying what he's saying.
Yeah.
I like it, Corey. I don't know money-wise how it would all work out, but I like it.
Well,
might be a
piece
you can
now,
add and keep your depth, right? That's a big thing.
But Draymond has a player option. He can opt out this year, and he is represented by Rich Paul, super agent, so who also represents LeBron and AD. So, therefore, that's something that can be in the works, and it's not tampering. It can be in the works because that's his client that he's dealing with. So it's a possibility. And again, I think Draymond wants to be in L.A. I think Draymond wants to play alongside LeBron and AD, and I think that Draymond realizes that the run in Golden State could very well be over.
Yeah, and also, it's a good point. Anytime anything happens, LeBron James's kid has a bar mitzvah. There's Draymond Green. Anything with LeBron James, Draymond Green's taking a week off of the Warriors and flying and going to wherever LeBron James is. So, yeah, that's a good read. I think that's an interesting possibility that allows the Lakers to maintain their depth and add a piece without giving stuff up that could work salary-wise. Interesting thoughts, Corey Alexander. Mm-hmm. Corey, LeBron James said he's still better than 90 or 95% of the players in the NBA. I think he's better than that, actually. He's a top 10 player to me.
Agreed.
But that's the first time I've ever heard an explicit acknowledgement that he is not only no longer the best player in the world, but there are a handful of players better. He's not second or third. There are, handful of a layer between him and the best. Is that something new? I mean, he just almost had a 40-point triple-double in a closeout game and got him to within a possession. Why now? Why is he saying this now?
Because he realized after scoring 31 first-half points that he wasn't the same guy that he's been. And, again, our mortality as athletes, it comes to you – in an instant. And he realized he did not have enough in the tank to get his team over the top in that fourth quarter because of everything that he did the first half to put them in position to be successful. He didn't have enough in the tank to be able to get it done in that fourth quarter. And it's the first time that LeBron James has ever had to come to this reality. He's playing up with injuries. He's dealing with things that he hasn't dealt with before in his career. So when he talks about retiring afterwards, it's an emotional response. We all know LeBron's not retiring. That's not part of the plan. The plan is he's going to break Vince Carter's record for the longest career. He's going to own pretty much every record available when he leaves the game. And Bronny didn't go to USC for Bron to retire. Bronny went to USC for both those guys to be playing in the same city and Bron to be able to play with Bronny in a year. So when you think about it, I don't see LeBron even – again, we know he's very organized. He's very calculated. He's not a businessman. He's a business man. Yeah. You know the line. Jay-Z gave it to you best. And part of the business plan is for him to keep his name with us talking about it all summer long, just like Tom Brady, just like Aaron Rodgers, because he's one of the GOATs. And we'll talk about whether or not he's going to retire or not all summer long, well, at least for the next couple of months, until he makes a decision to say, yes, I'll be back, after he sees what the Lakers do to benefit their roster.
Well, Corey Alexander, you've done it again. You've tied up all the loose ends, and now we are all better for it. Thank you very much, ESPN basketball analyst Corey Alexander and friend of the show. Thanks, Corey.
All right, see.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one, fellas.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Tony in Ohio.
Matt, I love you, but you're like a little brother. I'd like to lock you in the room when our parents go away because you irritate my soul. Anyway,
how did I irritate your soul? Wait a minute. You can't just lock me in the room and not tell me why?
You just irritate my soul, period.
Can you let me out of the room? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You worried, Heat fans?
Have you ever been locked in a closet, Max?
What's up?
Have you ever been locked in a closet?
No. I was the oldest brother. Now, I had the closest thing I had to an older sister was not the type to lock you in a closet. She's about 6 or 7 years older. But she wasn't a lock you in the closet.
But what's the worst thing that your siblings ever done to you, though?
What could my siblings do to me? I was the oldest brother.
You have to ask. You might have been a lame, you know. They might have looked at you as an L7.
Come on, man. You've been working on the show with me for a couple years now. You know how that is. That's not the case. So.
I mean, listen,
as an older sibling, and I tell my daughters this too, the older ones to the younger ones. You want to be good to your little siblings because you don't get that time back, man. And you wind up feeling guilty. No, I was not the – I was not the victim in that relationship. What's that?
But it may not be malicious. It just may be they just, you know.
I totally agree.
You might get on their nerves and they might just want to just do something to you.
And it's sibling rivalry too. The older ones, you know, that's the way older siblings treat their little siblings a lot of time if they're close in age, you know, if they're close in age. What about you with your siblings? You ever get locked in the closet?
No, my older sister with these little cactus, she would take the little cactus and torture us with them. Like throw them at us and they would stick.
What?
And when you take them off, you have all these little bitty bumps on you.
You run and tell your mom?
The needles? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely you would run and tell. But not the closet. I've never...
Where were you? How many where were you in the sibling order?
I'm the baby.
You're the youngest, right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the baby.
Yeah. Oh, so always you ratted everybody out. Everything.
I don't necessarily I wouldn't call it ratting out. No. I would call it communicating with the older parent with my mom.
Yeah. It's always the baby that's the favorite of the mom. Always the mom favors the baby 100%.
So you're a friend of authority is what you're saying.
No, I'm not a friend of authority.
Pull over.
Stupid.
Yeah, while we're talking about siblings, here comes Big Brother. All right. Should Heat fans bet? It's a 1984 reference, Pat. George Orwell, he's an author. Read a book. Pat, read a book.
He's a snitch.
That's what they would tell you, though, as a kid. He's snitching.
Yeah, 100%. Baby is always a snitch. 100%. And the older siblings say, hey, listen, you cannot tell mom the whole thing, right? And then they first thing run and tell mom.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. Even when it has nothing to do with hurting the younger sibling, they're just doing something they're not supposed to do. Little baby runs, tells mom, and mom's always going to favor and protect the baby.
The crazy
can't be retribution, nothing.
If reality television was out when we were kids, we would be like the Kardashians right now, just extremely wealthy.
And in jail, by the way, and or in jail. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not in jail. Not in jail because you got to think some of the things that go on in families go on to in a lot of families, but when it's visible and people can actually see it, it takes on a whole different perspective and a different meaning.
Yeah.
Right? When you're arguing or you're doing things, now we look at it and we go, "Oh, no, we would never do that." We don't want that on camera, but think about 40 years ago, Max. You think about it, that was on camera. You're not even thinking about that. You're just doing whatever comes to mind, whether you're snitching on somebody, whether you're waking up in the morning, going and playing basketball or acting like you can rap, whatever the case may be. And then the world gets to see it that would never be able to see inside your world, so to speak.
Reality TV, which is mostly scripted, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And there's no such thing as a fun. Every family, the best families are functionally dysfunctional, right? If you air your dirty laundry, people are like, damn. But it's true of every family. That's the way it is. All right, listen. Enough philosophy. How about the Miami Heat? You worried about the Heat? And did the Lakers tip their hand? SP, you're on KJM.
Absolutely not. I am not worried at all. Our coach here is too strong. Mm. If anything, the Celtics should be worried.
Well, they are down 3-1, but they have nothing to lose. They're supposed to lose at this point, right? The Celtics.
Exactly.
Right, but so that puts the pressure on the Heat, doesn't it?
Well, no, that puts the pressure on Boston Celtics.
I can tell you this, SP. You sound like I did about 3 days ago. not worried at all, not really worried, we'll be fine. That's the same way I felt, even though we were on the, basically, we're in the same position as Boston, where we didn't get one win, but we were down 3-0. And I'm like, we're not, you know, if we could just, and we were down 2-0. Well, you know, Max, I think if we just did this, we would be okay. And yeah, we got it with the Lakers. It's purple and gold. Look how many banners we have. It did. It goes in another direction. Quick, fast, and a hurry.
But we proved that we can win in Boston. Yeah. Lakers didn't prove that they can win in Denver.
No, I understand you proved you can win in Boston a week ago, or however long that was.
You know what point that SP made that was interesting to me, though? The Heat culture is too strong. Like when Corey Alexander, as a Yankees fan, brought up the collapse in 04, the Yankees culture at that point had changed a little bit. They brought in outside players who were not battle-tested, who cracked under pressure. But the Heat do have a strong culture. And you would think that a team that could fall back on that with a player like Jimmy Butler wouldn't allow themselves to collapse four in a row, you know? I appreciate that point.
It's not four in a row.
It's three in a row. Yeah, now it's three.
No, it ain't even three. It's one.
I was just telling you this the other day. You were clowning me for saying this.
The reason I was clowning you because they hadn't won one. The Celtics won one. So now it's only one. The Lakers hadn't won anything.
Mm-hmm. So they hadn't gotten that first win is the difference?
They didn't get the first win. Okay. So, you know, it's like a car, man, when you try to crank it and it don't crank, you know, like the old car.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it cranks up.
Yeah.
And then the engine gets going.
You're saying the battery was dead, but their battery isn't dead because they got the win.
Their battery has a pulse now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I said what I said to you about the Lakers. Like, no, but this one, they got it. So now they can look at it and say, all we need to do is win one at a time.
Think the Celtics just jump-started their battery, everybody? 888-SAY-ESPN.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, KJM, is brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and the Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere, 24/7. Beacon, always building. Did the Lakers tip their hand? But first, should Heat fans be worried? Marcus in Massachusetts, you're on KJM.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm freaking so hyped to finally get through to you guys. I've been honestly trying to call the show for, like, the past couple weeks. But these Heat fans, man, they just irk me, bro. I mean, come on. Jimmy Butler is, you know, having an incredible series. But if you do your history from the regular season, the Heat only beat the Celtics two times and the Celtics won two times. It was tied. I mean, the Heat only won by a few points each time. We've been there before in the past, the Celtics. They always have these incredible games and their battles and stuff, so I ain't worried at all. Okay, I'm a diehard Boston fan, born and raised, and I think Jaylen Brown just needs to step it up this next game. I know he only scored 17 points.
You're a diehard Boston fan, born and raised. You're in Massachusetts now, right? And you're saying you're down 3-1, but not worried at all.
Nope.
You have no fear that you're going to win one, you're going to lose one of the next three games.
I mean, if we win this one at home, then the next one I'll be worried a little bit. But as long as our two superstars do what they got to do, you know what I mean? Derek White, he's been incredible. He got to keep the defense up and, you know, maybe try and score a little more and stuff like that. But Marcus Smart blew me away. He did pretty good last game. And also, can we say how good Grant Williams did from three, 4 for 6? I mean, I think that's the best shooting I've seen him do in a while. You know what I mean? So yeah, as long as they keep up the momentum, and like Chi was saying earlier, it's like an old car, you know what I mean? You got to give it a little jump start. And that's all they needed, that one win to give them a little push. And then also, I got one more thing to say. Yeah, yes, sir. And also, I mean, everybody want to hate on Joe Mazzulla because he, you know, he's, you know, new guy, just came in, took Ime Udoka's place or whatever.
So wait, so hold on, Marcus. So you say everybody want to hate on Joe Mazzulla. Did you not have reservations at some point in time throughout the season or the postseason on what they had as a coach?
I mean, yeah, the guy's new, you know, so I don't blame him if that he, you know, he takes the fall for it and he be honest about it, you know. He's going to have some slip-ups, but he has shown some signs of great coaching, too. So,
all right, listen,
he's, you know, he's like a flip of a coin. He's like a flip of a coin, honestly, I feel like, at this point in time.
This is a real Celtics fan you're hearing.
If the players work with him, too,
and
the veterans on the team work with him,
I Massachusetts is going to be faded out. There it is. Okay. Marcus, we hear you. Good job defending the Celtics.
Max.
It's Andre Snelling's time, ESPN's senior writer with us now.
Ain't going rude.
I'm not keeping Dr. Dre waiting. What's going on, Andre?
Good morning, fellas. How's it going? Good.
What's happening, man?
What the deal, Key? Sorry about your boys, man. I thought they had that one game anyway.
No, we good, man. We all right, man. Don't worry about us.
All right.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It was don't worry about us the whole series, and now it's over. Still don't worry.
You know,
we'll figure it out.
Yes. Lakers in 9. All right. What'd you think of the Celtics winning game 4, Dre?
Thought it was big. I thought it showed a lot of heart on their part because the Heat were in control, right? In the third quarter, they were up by 9. They had it, and watching it, I kind of realized the Heat were in trouble when they started doing that rim on the basket thing in the third quarter where all of their layups and shots were like hitting two points on the rim and bouncing out. The same thing happened to the Lakers actually in their closeout game. And at that point I was like, yeah, this might be going back to Boston.
Andre, Key, but what's going on with your beard over here? Let me see this beard again. Can you show? Just take a look at this, Key. I want to see Andre Snelling's beard. It's going. I've never seen it quite like this because it's growing to the point where on either end it's longer than in the middle.
He's got to shape it up, though, right?
Yeah. Creativity is key.
What do they call? I don't grow facial hair, but so what do they call that? Like a Fu Manchu or something?
Yeah, it looks like a Fu Manchu beard. What's going on with you?
Yeah. So one thing that happens is my youngest daughter tries to braid it every other day.
Ah, yes,
and
yeah,
so
that makes sense.
That's why the one
on
the
either
end
side.
Is
yep.
Longer,
see, I knew it. See,
in the middle it gets shorter. Yeah.
I knew there was something going on, and the one thing about having little daughters is they can do anything they want to any hair. They're
anything.
Twisting my, putting my hair in a ponytail when it's a little, just long enough in the front, whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was great with cornrows, Max. Hey, Andre, now that the Heat are going back to Boston for game 5, what are the chances that the Celtics actually get 5 at home and force it back to Miami for 6?
I think the chances are reasonable. So, you know, Max, when we talked on Monday and we were talking about the Lakers, for one, like Key has pointed
out.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Key, you actually pointed out that the difference here is that the Celtics got a win. You know, you got to get that first win first.
Yeah.
And the other difference is that, so in most of the cases where one team is down 3-0, it's the lower seeded team that's down 3-0. And so they have to, even if they win that first game at home, they have to win 2 out of 3 on the road. But the Celtics actually have home court advantage. So all they have to, they have 2 home games in the next 3 if they keep winning. So I feel like in their locker room, they really can say, hey, we win this game at home, we're back in this series. It's 3-2 going back to Miami. Now, you can't get too much beyond that. It's got to stay one game at a time. And Miami clearly still is in control of this whole thing. But at least Boston can feel like I have a legit chance and actually wake up motivated by that.
That's a very interesting take, Key, because like it's the lower-seeded usually if the team is down 3-1, it's the lower-seeded team down. Not only do they have to go on the road, but they're lower-seeded for a reason. The other team's probably better over the course of the season, so it's different than the number one seed being down to the 8 seed. I'm sorry, Key, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now that you noticed the beard, I've noticed he's either in Miami, stuck in a room with the temperature being at 115
degrees. Dude, I just noticed that, too.
The dude is sweating.
Andre Snelling showing up on the
going on the head.
Showing up on the show a hot mess. What's going on with you today?
I'm glistening. So, you know, I was talking about my baby daughter. You know, I take her to school before I come here. And so I literally hustled to get here. And
ran through the hallways and stuff. Hey, let me ask you, how old is your baby daughter?
I call her my baby daughter, but she's 10.
Oh, there is no better that like what Andre's doing right now, like being able to take your kid to school, run around and everything. They're braiding here. It's like life never gets better than this right here. Showing up all sweating with your beard a mess to work because you were just with your kid. All right, listen, we got much more coming up with Dr. Dre. The nerve to show up disheveled on this show. As you can see, the Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Coverage of the Heat at Celtics Game 5 begins tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. Much more with Andre Snelling's coming up, KJM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Andre Snelling's ESPN senior writer with us still. Andre Snelling's who hustled through the parking lot to get here on time after dropping his daughter at school. She braided his beard, and so if you're looking at him on ESPNU right now, that explains the funny shape to his beard. All right, listen. What do the Lakers need to do to bounce back next season, Andre? Because, you know, Kyrie Irving's out there. They would probably have to thin out the roster a little bit to get him, but damn, on paper, that looks good. And, you know, listen, Corey Alexander brought up Draymond Green, maybe opting out. Maybe you can add him. What do you think the Lakers ought to do? People speculated about Van Vliet. What do you think the Lakers ought to do?
Yeah, I mean, so a couple things. For one, the Lakers are not very far away, right? They were right there. They made the conference finals. If they bring everybody back, and the biggest key is LeBron and AD being present and healthy. So if they start there with shooters around them, then they're 85, 90% of where they need to go. I've heard Wendy talk about how they could get up to, say, $30 million of cap room while still keeping their key pieces, including, you know, Emo Austin in the fold. So they obviously need to do that. And then whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Van Vliet, if they can bring in a third playmaker on offense, somebody that can create their own shot and create looks for teammates, make life easier for LeBron during the season so that he can have more left when he gets to the postseason, not come in limping off of an injury from the regular season, then I think they'd be right where they need to be.
Well, seeding really, because we obviously saw the Lakers in the play-in, so seeding in the end didn't really matter as far as I'm concerned. Will it really matter, though, if you go and you get some players so LeBron can rest up at 39 years old? You know, will that really matter next year, the seeding part of things? Should they even be thinking about that?
The seeding, not so much. I mean, we're seeing that not just with the Lakers, but with the Heat too, right? If your team is strong enough, the seed coming in isn't the biggest issue. But I think it is important, much like we're seeing with Jimmy Butler, it's important that LeBron and AD not have to be counted on for 75 games of high-level play in order for them to play well. If they can give them 60 games of high-level play, you know, because honestly, I thought that was the plan with Russell Westbrook. I never thought the plan with Westbrook was going to be LeBron still handles the rock and Westbrook's a shooter. Like, that doesn't make sense. I thought he was brought in to be the engine during the regular season, let LeBron kind of, you know, play off the ball and relax a little bit so he'd have something left for the playoffs. That didn't work, but the structure they have now, it looks like it would work as long as there's somebody else there that can help carry the load.
Trey, we were talking when these playoffs started. I thought Jokic had the most to gain out of anyone in these playoffs because he'd won back-to-back MVPs. He almost won three in a row. I think if not for the straw poll Bontemps did in reaction to it, Jokic may have gotten three in a row. But was generally not considered a top three player in the NBA. And he would float in and out of my top five, six. And largely that was because we'd seen him in the playoffs in the bubble against the Lakers with a healthy team. He wasn't quite the best version of himself. Then he improved as a player but never got back to the playoffs with a healthy team. So we just didn't know what he would do, right? Now that we're seeing what he can do, it's incredible. And if he wins finals MVP ultimately, it'll justify those two MVPs in a certain way that you start to say, where does he rank on the all-time list? But Jimmy Butler also is maybe on the verge of getting his team to the finals with an historic playoff run. Who has more to gain, do you think, between Butler and Jokic if one of those two wins the championship?
I'd say Jokic for a lot of the reasons you laid out, because if he had had this season with this playoff run before this season, then, yeah, I think there's a good chance he would have won that third MVP. Because I do think that people were hesitant. They felt like, hey, you know, if a guy – I heard former players lay it out like this. If Jokic wins three MVPs in a row, we're saying he's one of the best players in NBA history. Can we have that for a guy that's never won a chip or never performed at that level? Now that he has, then, yeah, I think that the reservations about – him possibly winning more MVPs kind of go away. I agree with you that Jimmy Butler has a huge amount to gain. He's already gained a lot with the way that things have gone because he's shown that this is three of the last 4 years now that the Heat have been at this level with him leading the way. So it's not a fluke. And not only is he leading him there, he's putting up crazy, ridiculous numbers. But one difference, I really don't think Jimmy Butler cares. I don't think he cares where he's put on any historic list. And I think that if they win a chip, it would be huge for him and for the team that he won the chip. I don't think that he'd be the type to be like, okay, now on ESPN, they're saying I could be one of the top 30 players of
all
time.
That's true, but Dre, consider. That's right. I totally agree with your analysis. And I would ultimately say it's Jokic who has the most to gain because of the historical significance. But Jimmy Butler, if he wins the chip, and I don't think they will, but if he does and wins finals MVP, that's the best player in basketball. Could you imagine a guy going from, you know, a defensive stopper to a guy who sometimes could get you 20 to an all-star to, wait a minute, can he be the best player on a team that makes a conference finals to the best player in basketball? Because make no mistake, if they win the whole thing, Dre, you're going to be sitting here saying the same thing.
I don't know that I would, because as we've established through the years, I don't evaluate the way that you do. But
more
I would
than you realize actually, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. But as far as Butler goes, yeah, he would have a huge argument. He would get himself into that argument. I don't know that very many people would say that's the best player in basketball, hands down. But he would have that kind of Kawhi Leonard type argument after they won in 2019, where now he's in this discussion. And he probably wouldn't have to do all that much to get into the MVP discussion next season as well, which he's never really been in seriously in his career.
That's a different conversation, though, right? I understand Joker's got two. And if he wins, it will have Max Kellerman types talking about he belongs to the top 10 all time in basketball.
No.
I don't believe that. You said that yesterday.
No, I did.
Max.
What I said, Dre, would be in the top 12 to 15 conversation.
Stop, Max. Stop. We got it on record. But anyway,
we do have it,
Dre,
on record. Stop mischaracterizing.
With Jimmy Butler, because of where he started, 15th on the back end of the bench, to where he is now, he has no other players. He's essentially, if he wins a championship, you hate to say it because no player does it by himself. He would literally probably be doing it by himself. All right? I mean, he gets some help from some other guys here and there. They chip in and do some stuff. But for the most part, by large, people will look at it and go, He's doing it by himself, scoring, defense, assisting, doing all of those sort of things. So I think he has so much more to gain than Joker. Joker's already got two MVPs. You know, people are kind of already expecting for him to be talked about amongst some of the greatest centers to ever play. This is totally different for Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah, so it would, again, it would get him into those conversations where he's never been before. And personally, I would feel really good for him and for the NBA to have him succeed at that level because of his story, because of the past. Because even before the NBA, his story is one that is easy to read and pull for the guy. But, I mean, if they won this championship, it would remind me a lot of say, like, when Hakeem Olajuwon won with those Rockets in the mid-90s, or maybe one of the Spurs championships in 03 when his team was either getting old or too young. It's not that he doesn't have help. It's that he's got very specific role players and a very specific scheme that works with his skill set. But that said, the public perception would be he carried a bunch of people that weren't even drafted to the title.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, you got to love that. If he's able to do it, it would be a great story.
And you know how public perception is, right, Max?
What? I don't understand. It's a rhetorical question. But
no, it's not rhetorical.
All right.
You know what public perception is.
Andre Snellings, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Trey.
All right, fellas.
We all assume Kyrie to the Lakers is just a formality. Do we all assume? Who wrote this? No, we don't. How can the Lakers make it happen, KJM?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.